bum. Ba da bum bum. Ba da bum 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 bum. Ba da da. Beer core.
So, and what this is. Those falling waters.
That's what a waterfall is.
Well, but it doesn't have to be that.
Well, I suppose.
And so.
Was it Dean Waters?
This is a little different. It's a cider, but it's been hopped. So it's a hopped cider.
I kind of like the whole idea of having a sister winery to a brewery. That actually kind of makes good sense. Because, like, you can brew beers in old wine barrels and so on. So it might be a good way, you know, where you can make a beer based on some wine that they produced in the past, on the barrel, you know, that they used in the past.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or
in this case, make a cider that's hopped.
Yeah, make a cider that's hopped. Let's give it a shot.
All right, I'm doing it.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I'm disappointed.
Oh, no.
No, not from the standpoint. It's a perfectly good cider. Mm-hmm. Don't taste any hops. I mean, I don't taste any hops.
You know, I have tried this before.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of in a reserved judgment, but this might be one of those batch issues.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because the one I had, you could taste the hops.
So you can't taste the hops in this one either.
I can't taste the hops in here. I'm getting a lot of tart. And
There's
ciders.
Right. No, it's a perfectly acceptable cider.
Yeah.
I can't even smell the hops.
Yeah. And the last one we could.
Yeah. This is a batch issue. There's always a problem with small batch places.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's because I've completely ruined my palate. But, it doesn't taste like much to me. Maybe a little pear at the end, but I'm not really getting a lot of the tart. I'm not getting any hops.
That was pretty good.
Which is a shame, because there's a good tart finish. Rob, do you taste the tart finish? No, not really.
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
I get the tart finish. I'm getting like a sweet peachy finish.
Yeah, I definitely get the
tart. Did you say sweet PG? Did you say PG?
PG.
A sweet PG finish.
I thought you were PG-13.
Well, I mean, a PG finish would also be appropriate for this, I think. It's, I don't know. Seems like this is the kind of cider you might give your kids at the end of a long day.
You're kidding.
We'll see if it
drink
makes
this
me,
down.
We'll see if it makes me drunk.
I wonder if I got the wrong, if they poured the wrong one. They had another one that was like a strawberry, right? And I did not want that.
I'm not detecting any strawberry, though. It tastes like a peach to me.
It tastes
weird.
It's kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there, right? It's kind of... It's flat. You know what I mean? It's kind of...
Yeah, maybe... Maybe that's what's it. Maybe... Because it's not as bubbly as I was expecting.
You know, again, it's to me, I find it a perfectly acceptable cider.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to get a hint of the tart now, but I don't know. Maybe I've just, like I said, maybe I've just completely destroyed my palate with sour beers, because that's basically all I'm drinking these days. Still.
Oh, yeah. So after a mouthful of Warheads, you're like,
this may not be quite as tart as that.
And that's the type of sour beer I always look for. It's the punch you in the mouth kind of sour.
Okay.
Sour beer.
All right,
Maybe that's
Let's pass verdict on this thing. Okay, I'd say because I don't taste the hops and I was expecting hops.
I was expecting hops.
Yeah,
I mean the flavor itself isn't bad, but it's false advertising, frankly.
And that was that. You know, I really, a bitter finish after that tartness, a bitter finish would have been fucking awesome. And the fact it's not there just...
Well, I think it was a batch issue.
I agree. It was probably a batch issue. Yeah. I won't say I would never try it again.
I mean, I would if I got a good batch.
Yeah, just not this one.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's...
Thing, a quick mention, by the way. I got seven of these growlers that lying around now.
For that?
Just growlers lying around, and before I went on vacation, I'm like, alright, should I grab a empty one and just throw it in the car? And then, of course, I found something kind of interesting, and so, you know, I had to buy another growler, you know, so, hey, grab that growler, throw it in the car.
You know something, I have to agree with you, because I've got like 6 growlers at home myself, so I probably should keep one in the trunk of my car, just wrap it up in a box or something, so I always have an empty growler with me.
Because I'm sure, you know, if you, they'll rinse it out for you.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, a little place will clean it for you. All right, so Rob, what's the real topic tonight, now that we're talking about growlers?
Well...
Did you actually?
I didn't pass judgment on this. And,
I'm sorry. My apologies.
So you should feel terrible.
I do feel bad,
Mister.
I do. I'm always in a rush,
Mister Tom.
You know me. I'm in a rush.
I'm in a rush too. I guilt and contempt of court. you're leaving it like
how about perjury too?
Yeah, some perjury.
I think perjury.
Honestly, this just feels like apple juice.
That's what I'm saying. This doesn't taste like grown-up apple juice. It tastes like apple juice you give to the kids.
Have we maybe just...
Are we at that
killed
point?
Ourselves, yeah.
Oh, by
we
the way,
just need that much alcohol to even taste it?
That could be the case. Hi, Vintage Gamer, who's now watching us live on YouTube.
Ooh, hey.
Hello, friend.
Well, it took us, like, what, 45 minutes to get that working?
I only told them 20. You shouldn't have told them how long it really took, okay? Yeah. I lied and told them it only took you 20.
Leave! You can put that over later.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, Rob, what is the real topic tonight?
Real topic is those rip-off games and systems. In other words, systems that aren't what they seem, or try to ride the coattails of another system. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, we talked about this, and I wanted to bring in controllers, but I don't think we had any fake controllers.
I do have some fake controllers, but I had too many, I had other things.
Well, how far back are you considering fake?
Fake goes back a long way.
Well, I mean, so you had, you know, Gemini sticks, you know, that.
For the 2600.
For the 2600.
Yeah. But those are really black fake. Ones. They were trying to fake it because they had a yellow button. I mean, you could tell
they weren't the same. So,
right.
So that's the difference. So it's not like you're, oh yeah, it's just another controller, like, or whatever. But
right.
Like ones that, you know, are in the dollar bin at Seven Mile Fair.
From a
tech. That are spelt wrong.
Yeah,
they
from
all have Z's.
Yeah.
Abari.
Yeah.
The Abari 2600.
Yeah. There are. One of the ones that got me was, there's fake Razer mice out there.
Yeah.
They're literally being sold as Razer mice, and there's fake 360 controllers all over the place that are also marked as 360 controllers. That kind of got me on it because it's like, man, this is not.
You mean, like, not even like with a fake, like, you know, like, somehow kind of faking it a little bit?
No, trying to pass its ass off. But you can, it doesn't have a real Microsoft. Like, it's misspelled. It's like Microsoft.
Yeah, you get a lot of
I've had a lot of those.
But
not controllers, but...
But controllers, stuff. Yeah, there were... Gemini, again, was an obviously different controller. But there were controllers that did try to pass themselves off as early clones as well. I mean, you did see some of that as well. I mean... Again, this is nothing new as far as cloning systems go. Let me kick it off, because I have got some really early clone stuff with me. So, again, system cloning or creating these throwaway or knockoffs is nothing new. So back in 1976, this was still in the early days of video gaming, but this is when ColecoVision and Magnavox are releasing quite a few home video systems. Atari hadn't gotten into the game yet. This is one of the earliest knockoff games. This is a Wonder Wizard. You'll have the name of that. It's a Wonder Wizard. It's made by a company called General Home Products. But here's the interesting thing about this knockoff. Magnavox, who made the system that this is knocked off from, it's a knockoff of an Odyssey 300, produced all the internals. Not only did they produce all the internals, they gave this company, General Home Products, the molds for the original Odyssey, the Odyssey 1, the first home video game system, and then they just kind of reworked them a little bit. This bottom is the identical bottom to the original Odyssey video game from 1972.
Ridiculous.
They didn't do any changes to it. Still got the 6D cell battery holder in it and everything. So it's exactly the same.
I assume that system does not actually use D cell batteries?
No, it does.
Oh, it does.
It does. They actually put the 6D cell batteries in it for that 9-volt power supply. It has the weird connector that Magnavox was using back in the day, pre-RCA type clips. It was this, they had this little weird barrel setup that fit into their systems. So the board inside here is a Magnavox 300 board. The only thing is that Wonder Wizard put this beautiful wood grain on it, better controllers on it, actually. They put a much nicer joint on potentiometers on it and larger knobs on it. But the basic, everything else is the exact same. It's the exact same games, the three games built in. It is the exact same settings on the switches. Like I said, you can see, if you look at it from the back, you can see where they just, it's just the original Odyssey case modified a little bit to make it a little bit different. The 9-volt plug right there is exactly where it is on the Odyssey. So this is one of the early knockoffs. And now when I say a knockoff, what happened was is by 76, the basic home video game market was getting a little hot. ColecoVision was dumping a crap load of Pong systems out on the market. They had ColecoVision just branded. They didn't rebrand. They just produced like a billion different styles of the same game. We've had this discussion before. They all played the same damn games. They just kept changing the cabinet a little bit. Well, Magnavox, who was the other competitor at the time, didn't want to get left out, so they released their electronics this way to another company, so that they basically produce their own competition that way. This is actually one of my better pieces in my collection, because this one's a kind of a, not a total rarity, but it's fairly rare. So again, kind of a cool.
I guess I gotta ask, is it just a little off topic? Is it working?
Yeah, that is a functional one. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, you know me, I do like to make them work when I have a chance. Again, we've seen lots of knockoffs nowadays, and we'll get into some of the more modern knockoffs, but knockoffs are nothing new. So this one came out in about 1979. Sears was a powerhouse of a department store in 1970s and 79 especially. So everybody knows that Sears produced their own Atari 2600. It was the Telegames, and it really looked... No, look, nothing. It was strictly an Atari 2600 that they just put the word Telegames on the front in where the Atari 2600 yeah. logo used to be. But they went a step further when they cloned the Intellivision of the time. They actually produced what was called the Super Video Arcade. And the Super Video Arcade is an Intellivision. The electronics, again, same motherboard in here, same switch set. But they just changed the case a little bit. Instead of being that brown case that came in with the two horizontally mounted controls, they put the controls in vertically instead. And then instead of having those teeny tiny little switches, they put bigger knobs on top of the existing switches so that you had the a little easier control system. Changed the case design quite a bit, though. I mean, compared to, if you looked at this, you would never realize that was an original Intellivision inside of here. It's designed to look quite a bit different. And they did a good job.
Well, you don't have this one, but now, because that's the Sears one, right?
This is the Sears one.
Because the 2600 had Sears had its own 2600.
I have one of those too.
Yeah.
But you know something, the thing, they made no changes to that. It looks just like.
They had the arcade too. That one was stolen from the Japanese version.
Correct. That's when they differentiated. So my first Atari 2600 was the Sears Telegames one. I had a Sears charge card at the time, and I could go out and charge the damn thing. It was a $300 video game system back then. Mm. So think of what the price tag would be nowadays.
It's like $1,500 so, in future money.
So I did run out and buy one of those boy. On my Sears credit card at the time. I think I got the charge card just so I could get the damn thing.
Oh,
so
25% interest.
Yeah, my original Atari 2600 was a Sears Telegame. Yeah. And I do have some of those floating around in my collection as well. But the thing is, it is just the same thing. They literally just changed the where it printed, you know, Atari 2600 to where it said Telegames. That was the only difference. This one, they actually made an effort to make it look different and redesign it. And they did a pretty good job, actually. Gameplay's exactly the same. Same motherboard, same whole thing. So cloning like this goes back quite a ways. Now, I don't know if there's anything pre-76. I can't find anything pre-76, 1976. I can't find anything that was a knockoff before that. So I'm going to say this one's probably one of the first examples of a knockoff video game. When I say knockoff, it basically, again, they're just getting the electronics from their competition and making their own case for it. Again, slightly better controllers.
Now, this situation, it seems like, and it is sort of like, oh, okay, I kind of understand the way business works.
I missed all that earlier.
See, you know. And,
you did.
But now as we move down, though, I think you start to get more insidious where it's, you know.
Right. And that's it. These are, whereas, yeah, this is a knockoff. Magnavox was making money at it. They were selling the electronics. This is a knockoff. Intellivision was doing just fine, saying, hey, yeah, we'll repackage it any way you want. You're paying us to do it.
Well, a lot of times it was, you know, you could, the games that were being sold once they got to the, you
right.
know, you, know, you could work in bulk.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So yeah, nobody was losing, the companies weren't losing money. They were doing fine on this. Now, cloning, as far as other clones and knockoffs come into play, some of the earliest computer clones I saw were the old Apple IIs.
Yeah, lasers.
Yeah, Laser, Franklin.
Oh, yeah, the Franklin.
ITT, Bell and Howell. Everybody in their mother. There was a Chinese board. I think it was, what was it called? Oh, crumb, 80,000, something like that. There was a Chinese board you could get. So a lot of companies cloned the original Apples.
Well, now that's starting to get into the... All right, reversed engineer this and
yeah, but
and,
that didn't. You know. I didn't see that till about 82, 83.
Yeah.
So that came quite a bit later. So, like I said, I think this is probably one of the earliest examples of just a straight knockoff. Yes, it's not. It's a knockoff from the standpoint is it's a completely different company and a completely different. Well, not completely. It's a different style case.
Yeah.
But it has no associate. They have tried to completely have no association with it. Where this one was. Obviously, that you know, it was an Intellivision. They were selling it as an Intellivision just with the Sears logo on it.
And everybody went to Sears back then for the video games.
They did.
Kind of weird.
No, you know, that was it.
I remember sitting at Sears with my parents, and they just leave me behind with the Atari. And, yeah. And strange men would walk up to me and ask me to touch them.
Sears was one of the, so
yeah, that sounds about right.
Before that, if you think about it, there were other game systems at this time. You know, you figure there's Fairchild Channel F, there's the Bally Arcade. None of those systems had knockoffs. None of those systems were cloned.
Only three of them sold.
Well, that could be the reason. No, they were expensive.
You know, that was always an argument in sort of in the proprietary. Concept idea, like Apple was like they made all their own stuff, and they, that way nobody can knock them. You know,
not in that, not but, in the early days.
Well, not even, but you know that was the idea.
Not until the Mac.
But then, right. Then it's like you know the IBM became sort of just more like
open architecture.
So you could just keep making them and stuff. And it's like which was better for the you know longevity of whatever you
right
were doing.
But in the, you know? But in the early days. IBM didn't want to necessarily be open architecture. It just so happens they used off-the-shelf components. Apple was the same way, and that's why there were, like, the Bell and Howell, the Franklin, the, what was the other one you mentioned?
There was a ton
of those because Apple had used all off the 6502 processor, you know, standard memory chips, the Infernal WAS machine, the drive handler. He may have done some weird coding, but the hardware was all off the shelf hardware. They didn't need because they weren't hardware engineers.
Yeah, they didn't have the money to pay someone to design shit for them.
Thank you. So they knew software. They knew enough about the hardware to get it working, but they really weren't.
And in fairness, like Apple, like even when they were making like the. More proprietary systems later on, they were never truly a hardware manufacturer. A lot of people like to say, well, Apple's a hardware manufacturer. No, they're not. They pay other manufacturers to make their hardware and just write really good software for it. They've never been a hardware manufacturer until very recently with their slew of phones.
Yeah.
Because those processors are all designed in-house. But they're still all
I mean, Max were outsourced, but I mean, at that argument, nobody makes their own crap anymore. I mean, really.
Well, and that's true.
They really don't. Well, that's, I mean, that's they design their own hardware,
right.
Obviously.
Right.
So.
That's absolutely true. But yeah. I mean, they're still on. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they did.
I don't
disagree. I mean, they used to sell them in kits. I mean, they used to make them in. They literally, they literally did make them in the garage for a while.
Yeah, you could buy
not for very long.
The original Apple One, yeah.
Not for very long, but.
All right, so those are my two big ones. I mean, now I have a ton of these things, you know. Again, we've had other ones on the show before. I like knockoffs, I really do. Just from the standpoint of the weirdness and the wackiness feature to knockoffs, some of them can be absolutely bizarre, and we'll get into that in just a bit. How bizarre they can be!
Oh yeah,
Ryan dropped off something special.
Yeah, the special additional one that we have.
Yes. All right, who's going next?
I'll go next.
All right, Matt's up.
More on the writing off coattails of another system theme. I nominate the Wii U.
Ooh.
Because it wrote off the coattails of two systems. Not one, two. By name, it was writing off the fame of the original Wii.
Right, and it played a lot of these same stuff.
Right, and it was... but it didn't have the fun, innovative controller setup that the Wii had, so it didn't have that going for it. The other thing it was trying to rip off was the DS. Your TV is your big screen.
No.
Your little screen is your second screen.
It's your controller.
Except when you're playing games just with the controller. But that's what it was ripping off. It was trying to rip off two systems in one go, and it did a very poor job of it.
You know, I never thought about that, but now that you mention it, yeah, the dual screen play where you have, you know, like you said, your big screen, your top screen on your TV,
mm-hmm.
and your lower screen here.
But the lower screen was superfluous when you were playing on the controller, and every game had to be designed so you could play it just on the controller, and so someone else could use the TV to, like, watch Netflix or some shit.
Yeah.
Like... So it was superfluous, and also nobody wanted one.
Yeah, well.
So it didn't exactly pan out. They tried to ride the coattails of the success of those two systems, and it did not didn't work out so good for them. Luckily now we have the Switch, which is not bad. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing stuff from that.
Yeah. So Nora, you've met her before, Mel's kid.
Yeah.
Won one last week from some Frito contest.
I'm joking. You know,
dead serious. Like, really? Holy shit.
I want a free Switch. That's how I get all my money.
Thank you.
That's for free.
Like, holy crap, she won a fucking Switch.
Who knows? Maybe I'll get a PS4 from one this year.
All right, so who wants to go next?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this and this kind of. I didn't bring mine in, but I got sucked into the 601 game controller, you know, or the games were, it looked like a PlayStation 1 controller and you know, but they got like all NES knockoffs, you know, and some of that stuff was kind of fun because they actually, like, in that particular version, they actually, like, use different sprites and stuff. So one of the fun games on it, it's Duck Hunt, right? Except you're like shooting an alien that comes.
So wait a minute. So not only do they it's a Famicom ripoff.
Yeah.
But they actually went through the work of changing the game.
Yeah, changing.
Well, you know, that's actually, I'm going to give them a little bit of credit on that. They went through the work of actually making the game a little bit different instead of just, oh, well, we'll just throw the ROMs right out there. You're good to go.
But it's funny, though, that the dog still comes
in. We're having too much fun in the chat.
The second screen was convenient for watching porn. I'm sorry, that's freaking hilarious.
Oh my god, that is good!
Away from your parents.
Yes.
That is a great idea. You can pretend like you're playing up on the big screen while you're watching porn on your controller. No, I'm loving that idea, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo fucked up. That's how they should have marketed the system.
They're only using the movement control. Oh no. Sorry. Yeah, so, I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that was a good one. That was a good one. Interrupted.
But now on the more, like, some of the more frustrating things was some of the knockoff 360 controllers were very frustrating because they looked so close to the originals. It was hard to figure out, and they never worked as well. So you would think, I'm getting it for $15. I'm getting a 360 controller, and you get it home, and it'd be like just crap, And be like, then you kind of look closer, like, oh wait.
PS3, that was rampant with the PS3.
Really?
Fake controllers were rampant with it.
They were really trying to pass off. They didn't do a different color. They didn't. It's not like the old Mad Cat stuff.
Where it was obvious they threw too many extra buttons on it.
Hey, let's switch to auto fight.
Right.
None of that. I mean, it just looked like a pure 360 controller.
Yeah.
That's when I first ran into, hey, this is just,
piece of crap.
This is just a straight knockoff. They're not even trying, to look like something else and be their own company or whatever.
Oh, and Benjamin just mentioned that, there's a reason why the pad on the Wii U had headphones, so you could watch your porn in privacy.
Mm. Well, I mean, dang.
That makes perfect sense!
Yeah. Wow, that comment just bridged several platforms.
Yeah, we are running there.
We're doing it, guys.
Yeah, that's right. That one is migrating between chat rooms.
Of course, it's about porn.
Thank you. Exactly. Anytime you bring up porn, it's going to migrate between chat rooms.
It's the same reason Blu-ray run porn.
That's right. Better porn on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, you might be hiding it from your wife, I guess.
Yeah.
You need the headphones, right? Yeah, you need the headphones at that point.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
At that point, just get a lock installed on your door or do it yourself. I mean, there ain't $10 at a hardware store.
What game are you playing? Whether or not you can tell I'm playing watching porn?
That's game.
I'm playing Spank the Chicken.
What's that sock doing on the couch?
I'm playing What's That Smell?
All right. All right, enough porn talk. Let's get back to the subject.
Welcome to
porn talk. Presented by
my Skinskin Beer. All the way up my screen on this one.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
You got to turn away.
Evidently, I should. All right, Rob, what do you got tonight?
Stuck.
Oh, you got a box full.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
God.
I have this lovely Taiwan covered hobby and Beanie Bopper for the Atari 2600. I had to get this when I saw it. I almost think this should be worth more than the original. So, yeah.
So, is it ball ripoff?
You know what's funny is, it's Beanie Bopper, which is, it was a game by,
I don't even remember the game.
But the game was fairly popular on the Atari 2600. And this is totally not the artwork for it. And they were ported over. They were actually brought legally, I think, by a company called CCE. And then these guys pirated them from CCE. And so they, just basically, sometimes they'd have the wrong name. Sometimes they'd have, like this one, the wrong picture. And then...
Right, so that picture is not a description of the game.
No, nothing to do with it. In fact, the Pac-Man one is one of the most... is one of the worst. I really got to pick up the Pac-Man. It's crap. But if you look at the cartridge is...
Wow. Holy crap. Nice print job on that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was sealed in box, by the way. Looks like somebody got it with a marker or something, which was probably the producer, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they had a... they beat up 9-year-old kids to draw every one by hand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A lot more than
that makes. Yeah, I mean that follows.
Oh, what else? Let's see.
For every drawing, you get a French fry.
We have the the Game Boy Advance SP with Crash Bandicoot. Sorry.
Right.
And
that makes sense. I don't see any problems yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. Yet. So you go in and you've got, another bootleg's inside it. So you look at the Looks pretty good, right?
Looks good.
Come on, guys. Take a touch at it.
Yeah.
A little feelsy on that puppy.
See, I was half expecting the badge not to say Nintendo, but to say something like
It absolutely says Nintendo.
It says Nintendo.
Nintendo.
It does indeed. It says Nintendo, but...
Game Boy Advance. I mean...
Picking it up.
This looks legit as fuck.
Yeah.
Except
you don't notice anything about it? It's very light.
Yeah.
Number one. Actually, the screen's better than a...
That's unsurprising.
Yeah.
No, well, you see, it's light. I mean, a lot of the... Does it not have the battery in it, or is
it... It does have the battery. It's just plastic. It's cheap plastic, yeah.
That's all it uses a much. You can feel.
That hinge is...
Yeah, the hinge is in there.
It's got a springy feeling to it that the actual SP did not.
Some Chinese manufacturers that make rip-off stuff, they put a weight in it.
Yeah.
A metal weight.
To make it seem real, yeah. No, that's good shit.
That's all I got.
You can definitely feel that weight.
Yeah, it's not right. And if you power it up, it has games built in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a dead giveaway.
Right.
It does actually run the GBA cartridges, however.
That's
this is
awesome.
Sweet Game Boy right here.
It is sweet.
Yeah, and I could do Tom and Jerry.
Well, there you go.
Darn right. It plays Nintendo games, too, which is kind of nice. So
it's a
Famiclone with Game Boy Advance.
Wow, okay. It's quite the mix.
So, yeah. But it does not run...
Sega.
It won't run original Game Boy games, and it won't run Game Boy Color games. So
Advance.
It doesn't allow it. Just Advance.
But that's still right there.
I mean, you know, There's only so much you can do when you're making a Famiclone of a system. Like,
right.
Do you have the room to run the code for the other two systems? Probably not.
I'm impressed it does.
But no, an expert can actually tell the difference between these. I'm actually not an expert in spotting phony, Pokemon, but this is absolutely a fake Pokemon that I paid $7 for off of eBay. And I got it from China.
Oh, man, that's like...
It does save the game, though.
That's light as hell.
So far as I can tell, honestly, it runs perfectly. I haven't had any problems with it. I'm guessing the battery would die a lot. You know, the storage would fail a lot faster, but... It's
stickers.
You got all the copyright markings on the bottom.
But it looks pretty nice.
This
is straight off just trying to...
This is straight off. I mean, this literally has the copyright symbols on the bottom and everything.
Yeah, that one's pretty...
Yeah.
That's pretty shady right there.
Yeah, this is about shady.
This one isn't bad, but you can tell, again, with the way it's just...
It's a good
it's not there.
It's a good forgery, but it's not right.
Fucking wild.
Yeah, like I said, this one's kind of interesting as far as...
Oh, yeah, I can see gaps in the plastic there, too, and Nintendo doesn't let that kind of shit get through the
whole control. No, I mean...
Seriously, though.
It's not going to make it through. It's not going to pass. Not once you got it.
I mean, but you go to, convention or something like that, and you see this in the bin or whatever, and you think, oh, man, you know what?
Yeah.
Found some gold, you know?
Well, and that's what happens with the ripoffs like that. That's why you really do have to kind of be able to spot a genuine.
Yeah, and that's
genuine cartridge.
Genuine. Oh yeah, there's no screw in the back, which is a big giveaway.
There is a screw.
Oh, but is it the same type of screw?
Yeah, because Nintendo uses a security screw.
There is a security screw, but
it's not the right shape or color.
Everyone does screw a little different.
That's true.
Everybody does.
That's true.
But
those are the kind of things you have to look for, because like you said, you're going through a bin of cards, and you go, oh, hey, this one's worth blah, blah, blah. Not necessarily, because there are those knockoffs out there.
You want to see the camera better.
Do you want to see the knockoff?
I'll bring them up front for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's the thing on eBay, you buy.
All right, so...
Maybe this one normally goes for
that
like
one's a knockoff.
$25.
Again, you can kind of feel that the plastic is a little
and
bit
they
lighter.
Sell it for $20.
And then there's a genuine one.
A genuine one.
And then here, I think they wanted to see the Game Boy. I'm pretty sure that was usually.
Well, fine. Let me show the Game Boy then.
That's a good look, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely got them in there.
Here, turn it on so they can see the screen.
Yeah,
the screen's actually really bright.
The screen's good. Yeah.
It sounds like hell.
So wait, I
backlit well.
I gotta before I show them that. One of the first things you notice is if you look at the logo on the front, you'll see the printing is offset. So, and again, like Matt said, Nintendo does not make mistakes like that on their gear. But on the back side, they really went to try to make this look genuine as far as what the system was. But when you power it up,
Wait, yours doesn't have Sonic on it?
You get this really cool menu that kind of tells you this might not be a genuine.
That would be a hit. That would be a hit, yeah.
But the plastic is quite a bit lighter.
The plastic is downright cheap. In fact, it's a lot like those new cases you can get.
No, okay. For a regular one. It's a few years past old Game Boy world. Which one would you really be looking for?
I kind of like this one myself.
I know.
I would
mind buying one like that.
I never owned a Game Boy system, and I would be happy to have something like that as my first one. It's not bad.
You little monkey.
Nah.
Well, I wouldn't. Here's the thing, though. I probably wouldn't notice the difference because, again, I've never owned one.
I think when you plug in the wrong game and it doesn't play right, I think that's
That would be my first indication.
And the controls on it, they're pretty rough. Now, if you're playing Pokemon, you're not going to notice it. But if you're playing anything that requires any kind of action, you're going to fail. And that comes to the next one of the Game Boy clones, which this one is meant
to be... That was a Game Boy clone.
This one is too. Yeah, this is a GBA clone. This one's called Revo K101, and this actually will set you back probably more than a real one would.
Really?
And the reason... where the games go? Yeah, they're right here. It actually does not power up without a game in it.
They are right there.
So, we'll run the boot like...
But now, that one's obviously not a Game Boy, though.
It's obviously not a Game Boy, but it is meant to be... one of the problems that they have with GBA is that the 101, which is the better screen, is getting really scarce. And people were starting to really scalp the crap out of them. So the Revo K101 basically is, hopefully has some power to it, is meant to actually replace it. Now, quality was basically what they were going for.
Real? Oh my god!
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And the K101, you can.
Show them up front.
This is the K101.
This screen looks really good.
Yeah, the controls are fairly good. The only thing I really don't like about it is the bleed. There's a little bit of bleed on either side of the screen, if you look.
Sure.
Past the bezel.
So now, wait a minute, they've reformatted the screen, though. Is that not...
There's a slight reformatting of the screen. Some people complain about it.
Right, it's quite 4x3.
The clarity, I think, is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's like a... It's like a 5.4.
It's different.
And it'll actually link up with a Game Boy, like an actual Game Boy will play, so you can Game Boy link that system.
Oh.
It'll also run games on
Pac-Man horses.
Right, yeah, you could. And you can also, it comes with an SD card adapter, so that you can put a bunch of games on an SD card and play it with it, which is pretty nice, I think. And then, of course, it plays regular Game Boy Advance games. Unfortunately, it does not play Game Boy or Game Boy Color games either, unless you have Monorama, which I think is kind of tarded. So I actually ended up, I took a GBA, an original one, and packing a backlight into it, which works really well.
Now,
I put a new screen in it. You can't actually do that. But
all right, so that's two of these, by the way. Where did you find these?
This one... This I got off of eBay. It's one of those things where when you're on Facebook, you know, somebody's like, hey, somebody saw these bootleg Game Boys. Watch out for him.
And Robert,
I'm like, yeah! Hell yeah! I'm going to go buy that bootleg because I buy any bootleg I can find. The K101s are pretty popular in the Game Boy community. Most Game Boy enthusiasts, they know what it is because they kickstarted, I think, the first one.
Then
the second one, they didn't do a Kickstarter for. They just released that. But that's a fairly popular one. You see it around. That one you can buy, you know, like on Amazon.
Sure.
And they come in different colors, too, which
that's
I think is sexy.
That's more of a...
That's a coattail rider.
Yeah.
That would be a coattail rider. Yeah.
I was going to call it a...
It's a good one, though.
Flammaboy. Like a Flammaclone, but a Flammaclone.
It's a Flammaclone. Yeah, I like it.
My 30-second review is that it feels like a Super Nintendo controller with a screen on it.
Yeah, it's a little bit spongy.
It's
a little bit spongy, in my opinion,
at all. I'll give you that, but it's solid.
And you do that next to this thing, and you're like, oh, you know, that there's a big difference in these controllers. That one's crap. It'll get you.
The screen might look good, but you don't want to stay long.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The screen looks okay. So I think the best way to do it, honestly, is get a real GBA and, you know, either shell out for the 101 or else hack yourself an original GBA. That's the way I like to go because it's got the bigger controls.
Yeah, it feels
good. Put a backlight on it. Yeah.
I
love that thing. Plus, that runs all the original stuff, which I really like too. All right, finally.
Yeah, I'd miss playing Burger Time.
Finally, I've got
Miss Burger Time.
My personal favorite. This is my earliest one. Not as early as yours, though. No, this goes back to the 80s.
This one's freaking awesome.
And this is the Dina 2-in-1, which, it's actually semi-licensed. It actually was a licensed ColecoVision clone. And this one will run both ColecoVision and Sega SG-1000 games.
See, the fact it ran the SG-1000 games is freaking awesome.
And you notice the form factor is much like an SG-1000.
Okay, so.
Very much like an SG-1000.
Right, but if you notice also, it's got two cartridge slots on it.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, which the SG-1000 did not. Again, kind of odd. It was an odd mix of systems to combine.
Yeah, well, not so much when you think about the processor.
Not from a hardware standpoint.
They both use a Z80.
Right.
So
they use the same processor.
And the same graphics chip, pretty much.
That's true. Yeah, and the same sound chip.
Yep. So, yeah, they were pretty much identical systems, honestly.
Yeah.
Just the SG-1000 was a little bit upgraded from it. So, so this did actually poorly, because I'm pretty sure Tom will gladly tell you that it's cheaply made. The failure rate on this was super high. This one's actually a cyborg of its former self.
Yeah, because he had to catch the crap out of that one.
Yeah, and then the video completely failed on it, and I can't get parts for it anymore. So
what an enormous surprise.
Well, they didn't use the original graphics chip either. They didn't use the ColecoVision chip. They used the SG-1000 chip, which actually has composite out of the chip. So I soldered.
You soldered a composite out on it.
I sure as crap did.
That's awesome. That's good shit.
I soldered it and stuck it out of the back like a huge anal wart. But you know what? It looks great now. This is the best freaking ColecoVision I have. And because it doesn't have the pads built into the controller, you can use your damn Atari controllers like everybody on the Coleco did anyway. So you can actually use original Atari controllers on it and play it like a boss.
Nice.
So I really like this, actually. Someday it will probably catch on fire and kill us all.
But
at one of our shows... But for now,
yeah, and you actually
for now we're doing okay.
When we do live shows, Rob brings this one out. So if you haven't played Adina and want to see what it looks like, Rob normally brings this to our live shows.
Yep, as long as it doesn't fail during the show. It failed during MGC last year, but this year, I think I got it. I mean,
you've done a lot of hard work.
As much has been done as I can do to it. So yeah, it should be fine this year.
All right, so.
What the hell? Yeah. Oh, the other funny thing about it was the SG-1000 was never mentioned on the box. So, to all people who bought this in the Sears catalog, there was just a superfluous port.
Hey, what's that for?
Yeah, that's another thing. It's really easy to break the detector off on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran longer lines into it because it detects it by shorting out. When you put in SG-1000 cartridge, it's just got a very basic two pieces of metal that clip together, and then it shorts that circuit out, and then that turns it into an SG-1000. The rest of the time it's a ColecoVision. So it breaks all the time. People won't notice because nobody plays SG-1000 on it that I know of. I'm good at though. I'm gonna get some games.
Nice. I don't know the SG-1000.
It was basically the Sega Master System. It was really a
predecessor. It was the pre-Master System.
Yeah. There's similarities to the two, though. But yeah, it was more precursor to it.
All right.
All right.
I think we've beaten this poor dead horse. Wait, now we do have one more.
We do have one more.
We've got a special one to discuss. Do you want it or do you want me to take it?
And now go right ahead. Right.
I gotta take this. Okay. So Ryan's not here tonight, but Ryan wanted to show this. Now the cool thing about this one is this is new in box. So we have talked about this particular system on the air before. This is the Power Zone. It's also called a few other things. I can't remember what the other things it's called. But basically, it's the penguin that bursts into flames when you play it. it's a Famicom clone. This is a 2010 edition of it. This one says it's got 111 built-in games. Also supports 8-bit gaming cartridges, like the original.
Yeah, like the original. So it's got
it
big
supports it.
Music port on
so the changes they've made with this is the penguin looks a little friendlier than the old penguin. The old penguin looked like he'd kill you in your sleep, and probably will.
He had glowing red eyes, I tell you.
Well, the new one's got... No, the
he
new
really
one,
did.
The new one's got glowing red
Does
eyes.
Does he still got the red eyes?
Yeah, they just make the beak goodness. A little less menacing looking, and now... What they've done is they've made both controls infrared instead of just the one control infrared. So you've got two infrared remote controls on this. Still has the light gun. So for those of you who still have CRT televisions, no one. Okay, Larry, we're not like normal people, okay? None of us are like normal people. But most people,
I have five of them.
The light gun is completely useless because it does not work with flat screen TV. You have to have a CRT to use it. The penguin, like I said, they made him look a little bit less threatening, but... still kind of scary as heck. And now they've gone to two remotes. They're infrared, so it's line of sight. You literally have to... Okay, I'm pointing directly at the penguin's belly now. I can use the remote. But again...
Yeah, I just used it corded. I didn't screw with that. Cancerous.
This is one of the best rip-off games available.
Oh, well, now you probably can't use it corded at all with this one.
Well, I hope they got ports on the back.
Oh, it's got to because you can use the gun.
Oh, all right.
And the gun is still corded. Unless the gun plugs into one of the remotes. I have not used the completely wireless one. So, of all the Famicom clones, who the heck thought, hey, let's put this thing into the body of a penguin because that definitely will attract everybody. I mean, I've seen them that look like PlayStations. I've seen them that look like Wii's. I've seen them that look like the old NESs. I mean, they've done Famiclones made to look like existing game systems.
Someone who really wants it just to be a Linux system.
Linus Torvalds.
Okay, maybe he would have put it in the body of the penguin, but nobody else, nobody in their right mind would have thought
somewhere
this was
there, Linus Torvalds is going, yes,
damn, I should have
said, I did that.
So,
wait, he's not German.
So when it says there's only 111 built-in games, I'm going to bet there's more. Like, ours are like some ungodly ones we picked.
Yeah, I was like, it was really, it had good games too, I thought was really impressive.
It's not a bad Famicom.
It's probably an honest knockoff in that it's 110 probably completely unique games.
Quite possibly.
Instead of, 10,000 games, and it's like, yeah, that you just broke out 100 levels of the same game. Yeah.
I had one that was only 5 games repeated like 100 times.
It right, and then so and how long does it take you to get through, like, okay, I want to get to the next game. And I got to go through like 150 of the same game before I
to get on. A variant's called like Duck Blunt.
Yeah.
Duck Blunt.
All right, Rob, why don't you go ahead and take us out of this show? I think we have pushed the technology, done what we needed to do, talked about porn. How much better can you get for an episode of Guys Game?
I know, right? Everything was here. I have nothing else to say. Well,
it's a real 5-star podcast.
So we are, yeah, we're something else. If you haven't noticed, we are now available everywhere on YouTube. You know, the Twitch, the Facebook. Twitch.
Larry's ass.
The Facebooks. We're right on Larry's ass, in fact. So you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net, which is our home website. Most of our stuff goes on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where every week we do stupid crap and draw you into our conversations and infighting. Probably we talk crap about somebody else's product that they picked up.
It'll be a cat picture at some point.
And there will almost certainly be a cat picture because we're kind of weird.
Because they're cats.
Because sometimes I post on the wrong account. Sorry.
Sorry about that. On Twitter, not Twitch, by the way, on Twitter, it's at Guys Games Beer, where Tom gives away free games on Wednesday. Oh, I forgot. We give them away on Friday sometimes.
Sometimes, but I remember, generally Wednesday. Generally Wednesday.
Ooh, I got some.
But, for you. Yeah. So, Facebook Friday. Twitter.
Wednesday.
Probably.
Yep. Website. We never give anything away on there.
Yeah. It's true. Nobody goes to the website.
Well, that's because we're like everywhere else.
It's really those wonderful people who listen to us just audio.
Yeah, that's true.
They tear that
up. Yeah, the audio only links, but we're also on...
We're on iTunes and every freaking podcast aggregator on the planet at this point. Mm-hmm. If there's an aggregator we're not on, let us know about it.
And we will get on to it,
We'll get on there, but I'm pretty sure we're on all of them now.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We're on TuneIn Radio.
Yeah, for goodness sake. We're on... Radio Brazil, for Christ's sake, now.
Yeah. So definitely go
live on Radio Brazil.
Pick us up and find us. All right, Rob, take us out.
Thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We'll be seeing you next week. We've got possible guests lined up again.
Yes, we do.
We've been doing a lot of guests lately, and I think that those episodes go the best. So we're going to just keep going with that.
Yeah, something cool to come on the show.
Thanks for watching, and see you next Tuesday. Much closer to 6.
Probably.